When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
This is 1 hour of fun from the show this morning.
Don't worry, you can still catch the entire show on your favorite podcast app.
And you can watch the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba on Blaze TV.
Enjoy the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
From the Big Boy Studio, out on the bleeding edge of technology, we come from Sweet Home, Alabama, out to the rest of the world. On all sorts of platforms, whether they be live or archived, we're glad you're here. Speedy, the real Greg Burgess and Helmsy, they've given you the kickoff hour available on most all those platforms. Eddie Van Adler settles in for the YouTube experience. If you're watching us on YouTube, you got the live option every day. You also have the archived option of the entire show. And a best of hour for all who subscribe to Blaze TV. So there you go. On the audio side, America's boldest radio stations will add a brand new one today, carrying the show live. And then, of course, you also have our streaming app. If you don't have an affiliate, there's another live option. You get that from TuneIn, which is a free download. Then you just search the show's name and you'll have it. And, of course, also archive options every day on audio. We have full podcast archives every day on the Rick and Bubba podcast channel and a best of hour as well. And, of course, also wherever you get podcasts, the unique podcast that comes most every week called Rick and Bubba University, a brand new one out this weekend. NASA's Tony Casey, our guest, if you didn't get it over the weekend, but it did drop over the weekend. We're missing one, the silver tongue one, the man with a golden voice, professional lunch eater's man of the year. The inventor of pizza in a cup, Shakespeare's worst nightmare, and the master at a king's English. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Bill Bubba Bussett! Howdy, Bubba!
How about it, Rick Burgess? Friends, neighbors, associates everywhere, welcome in to another edition of Rick and Bubba.
I'm nationwide. ZZ Top. Nationwide. We have much to do on the program today, Mr. Bussy. We will recap stories from the weekend within the show. One we're going to put on delay. It needs 24 hours to develop. We'll share it tomorrow. But we'll give you updates from the weekend that happened in the lives of all who do this show, in the lives of all of you out there that'll be calling today at 866-WE-BE-BIG or emailing there at rickandbubba.com. You can see contact. And we'll break down the stories around the world that happened while we were away as well. I don't know what those are like. It was an active weekend. I haven't really started looking at it until I got to work today.
I know,
but I know it's.
I saw some of those tornadoes this
weekend. Hey,
wow.
Bubba, I got a good look at them. I got
a real good Midwest. Wow!
Yeah, I got a real good look. As you know, we were in Nebraska, Omaha, and I'll do a whole Omaha. I'll do an Omaha update today, which includes what it's like to be in an airplane that's trying to land while a tornado is ripping up the airport.
Yeah.
So we'll. That was that right there. I didn't, you know, like we all said, everybody got to catch up on their prey, and I thought that was great. So anyway, that was interesting. We'll give you that story today on the show. So that's coming up. We'll just call that one, Bubba, Omaha. But as you mentioned earlier, we were talking out there. You know, you can see them for a long way.
Yeah, man, it's such a different view of those things coming in, and the view is scary. I don't know if it's better to see them or not see them.
Well, it was. I talked about that because I talked to people that live there, and they were talking about, yeah, you know, we can see them so far away, so. There, it's almost interesting than I mean, different than our culture. If you live in a tornado state, for them, seeing one is not a big deal because it's so easy to do.
Right.
I said, where we are, if you've seen one, you like hold court. I said, because
you're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I said, with our trees and hills, we rarely ever see them, and their faces were like, what? I said, no, it just happens. Yeah. And you can't see them. And if you do see one, it's bad because it's right on you. So anyway, it was a interesting conversation. But I'll tell you one thing: the Lord sure did set up a nice conversation about eternity.
Yeah.
I said, well, anybody need to be told that you could have died yesterday? You know what I mean? So everybody's like, nope, we got that. So we discussed that and had a great weekend, and we'll talk about that. Like I said. And when we do Omaha. As far as everything else that happened over the weekend, we're still winding through stories. Bub, I hope you had a good weekend. Where we all live, was it a pleasant weekend? Was it?
It was very pleasant. Yeah, very pleasant.
It seemed that way.
A little windy, mm-hmm. point or two, but overall, mm-hmm. very, very nice.
Yeah, it was. I got the opportunity to travel. You know, throughout airports and stuff and all that with Rich Wingo, which was interesting. You may not realize this, but by the way, watching his interaction with the Nebraska fans, you know, Nebraska fans are really beat down. All fans cling to glory days, but if you get to experience current glory days, they don't hold as much value.
Right.
But when your days when you were owning it were when Rich Wingo played against you, and you're still clinging to that because you haven't really been good since, you know, except maybe since the 80s anyway. And the people are very distraught there, and they really get down. They said the most – I was like counseling, you know, Dan, the guy who picked us up at the airport a year ago. Remember Johnny Fever? He looks just like Johnny Fever. He picked us up again. You know, he's got pops, of course. He's been in radio. Does all that. Right. And he looks just like Johnny Fever. And to hear him lament, he said, our worst day was when we thought Scott Frost was coming back to save us. He goes, have you ever heard about Scott Frost's first game at Nebraska? And I said, no, Dan, I do not recall it. Torrential thunderstorms. We all sat in the stands waiting for that team to hit the field. And the game just delayed and it delayed and delayed. And it was like a sign from God that the Scott Frost era would disappoint us. We were certain he was coming back to turn it around.
Certain.
and I'm like, and then we got into the, which I realize if it's their team, Rick, this is not fun for them. When I started asking, why can't they be good?
Yeah.
And that we all want them to be good again.
No.
But this back and forth where the picture we showed Friday that I didn't realize this until Wingo unpacked it. That game we showed on and Bubba watched on Friday, that was the only loss Alabama had the entire year. They were 11-1, and they lost by 7 points to Nebraska, and it cost them the national championship.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Wingo got to say to them, y'all cost us the national championship, and they cheered.
Okay.
And then I told him not to mention that in 1978, when Alabama won the national championship, they opened up the season in Birmingham and beat Nebraska.
Mm. Don't mention that.
And I could tell Wingo wanted to bring that up when he was taking the heat.
Yeah.
I said, let's just let that lie. They know that. They just don't want to mention it. They've been through enough.
Yeah.
And we sat there in the stadium expecting it to turn around. And like a sign from God, the game was delayed for thunderstorms. And we sat in torrential rain waiting on the game that never happened.
Did they have a reason why they feel like it has fallen off?
They feel like that trying to get people to Nebraska. Johnny Fever blames their winter. He said,
but it was cold when they were not.
I know, but he said then, you know, you could get people and keep them, and now everybody can jump around and basically just pick where they want to go.
Yeah.
And he said that hasn't helped us.
It's backyard football now in college.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
So fastgrowingtrees.com, I know, some of you, you've heard us talk about this in the past and you didn't respond. Now you're sitting there, you're looking out, everybody's sending pictures of all of us that went to fastgrowingtrees.com, where how you're seeing pictures of the trees and you're seeing pictures of the plants and they're flourishing, and you're looking at yours, and you know what they are? Dead as a wedge. They didn't flourish. You know why? Could be simple things like you are buying the wrong plants and trees for your climate. You know, there's all kinds of reasons this could be. Why not dial into fastgrowingtrees.com? Let these experts help you pick out trees and plants that will flourish where you actually live. They're always available to you at no charge to consult you on the proper planting of them. They come to your home. You're not running off somewhere and then throwing a bunch of buckets of dirt in the back of your vehicle, and then they're turning over and you're trying to get them back home. And you know, I don't have any wagon. I'm picking them up, carrying them. Just have them come right to the door, and they're ready to go. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you, and they have the perfect fit for you and your climate and where you live. Comes to you in about 1 to 2 days. Let me tell you, it makes all the difference in the world to be able to go to the experts at fastgrowingtrees.com and say, hey, so I'd love to have this fruit tree. Which one should I get? All right, now we're ready to plant it. Can you talk us through it? It's really fantastic. Now, if you go for the spring sale, you're going to find some of the selected plants up to half off and some other deals there too. But we're going to give you an additional 15%. No matter what they have it priced at, you get an additional 15% because you're part of this audience. So go to fastgrowingtrees.com. Use the code Bubba at checkout. Enjoy the trees and plants. Do the work on the front end correctly, and then they flourish, okay? Fastgrowingtrees.com, the code Bubba. Offered is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You know, now the family, we're all finding various pictures of stuff over the years involving Dad, and our sister sent us one. And it has our family all standing on the front porch of our grandparents. And my dad is holding Greg's son, Taylor, and my son, Blake. And he's got one in each arm. And little Taylor, which is the Taylor we're all talking about right now, he looks, his son has a mix of mama and other people too, but boy, there's a lot of Taylor there.
Oh yeah.
I mean, and the way he acts and stuff, sure, and handles things, there's a lot there.
Yeah.
Ellis reminds me of Taylor just more than just his looks.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Just his whole
his little personality.
Yeah, his little personality is very, very similar.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, and boy, you really see it when you see Taylor at his age. You
yes.
really see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of times we make that mistake of comparing the adult with the.
Yeah.
You need
yeah,
to go no, back
no.
and see.
No.
The, yeah, yeah.
Completely different in this case.
Yeah. All right. So this. So mascots. And you were telling me, Bubba.
Taylor is still scared of mascots.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, it's why Thompson High School doesn't have one. No. Do they have a warrior or something that runs out or anything?
I don't think so.
Chief Osceola.
Yeah. Don't they need something. One? Don't they need one to ride
They'll
out?
Do the Tomahawk Chop. Now they do that.
I got everything yeah. else. Yeah. I don't got that.
So and they said Pell City's got a new mascot, but anyway,
Rick.
I'm sorry, that's inside and a tad local. All right, so you
just for our own pleasure,
right? Even though this person has some national name recognition,
he does.
But
for
just various reasons, you know, there's the word famous and there's infamous.
There it is.
There's notorious.
Yes.
But anyway, we have a mascot that has broken a hug record. Did you tell me about?
Didn't know there was a standing hug record.
And the mascot. Division.
Yeah, you know,
please
look
at his name.
They come up with the strangest columns to keep world records. Yeah. Is this a package? Can we see Adler, or is it just B-roll? What is it?
This is just the whole thing. This is
this is
the hug record.
All right. There's just people in line.
He hugged 90 people in 60 seconds.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It looks like a minor league team, maybe Saints baseball.
It is.
Yeah, okay.
Right, yeah,
here.
The
Mark. 90 hugs in a minute.
Get set.
All right, look. I mean, he's just on a hugging frenzy. Look, he's double hugging. He's got double line, double hug.
Back and forth.
Left, right.
No rep.
That's no rep.
Yeah, who's counting these hugs?
Who makes it official hug?
They're just touching chest.
Yeah, right. That woman was not a rep.
No rep. This is bogus.
He didn't pull her in.
No, he didn't. Oh, she didn't even do it. She just touched him, Bubba, and then walked away.
No, that don't
That's
count.
Not a hug.
I saw three that didn't count.
Yeah.
And towards the end, it gets real sloppy.
Is that a guy female there counting mascot? It. Is that a female mascot?
I think so.
Yeah, it looks like it. I mean,
she's
got a dress
Rochester.
On. You never know. You never know now.
You never know.
It says Madonna on the back.
Okay.
It's something to do with mud.
Oh, it's a pig. Madonna.
I saw mud barbecue over there, too, at the concession stand. Mud must be a big thing there.
It's a pig, too.
Is that a pig? That's
Boo.
Not a pig.
I think it's a
Are
pig.
Are we going back hugging the same people?
They jumped to the back of the line.
You can't do that.
Oh, see that now. What are we doing?
That's not.
Why are we even doing this?
No. like their stadium.
Nice
No.
Where is this at? Rochester?
I don't know where the Guinness official is, but he's not doing his job.
Look at the guy dressed as the Saint over there.
The Rochester
Why are they
Red
talking about hogs?
I know they have to video everything and go back and verify that this would not be verified.
No.
All right, here's what I'm thinking.
Those kids need to stop celebrating.
That's here's what I'm thinking. I think we've got some mascot crossover here. Now, we don't know the area.
St. Paul Saints.
Okay, so here we go. So I saw a guy. Wonderful. I saw a guy dressed up as the Saint over there. Did you see him?
No, I did not.
Yeah. Well, this is Mud Donna, and Mud's Barbecue is in the background.
So it's their.
I think it's their mascot. Gotcha. It's the mascot for the barbecue, and then there's a Saints mascot for the team.
Right. And I think he wasn't hugging anybody.
No, and the Mud Barbecue Mud mascot must come to the minor league games because they have the barbecue at the games.
Yes.
Okay, I think that's it. Really
okay, nice so
now the previous record was 89.
Well, it's
and it was
stands.
Set by Red M&M in Shanghai, China in June of 2019.
You gotta be kidding.
Which broke the record of the previous world record of 85 set by Virginia Tech's Hokey Bird in 2015.
Wait, so the Hokey Bird.
So the Red M&M knocked out the Hokey Bird.
Okay.
Time out.
Yeah, right.
What? I see an article here that says the St. Paul Saints fans.
Oh, no.
They actually helped name the pig mascot.
Okay.
So it's actually their mascot, and they named it after the drug Ozempic. And this is a USA Today article. I'm not making this up. I'm not getting fooled here. And it's like Ozempic is the. I'm not.
Right.
I'm not making.
Did they
this
reject
up,
so. That and go with Madonna and say no, we can't
I
call
guess.
It Ozempic? Because you saw it on the back of
I
the
know,
shirt there.
I well, I don't even know if that's the name or not.
What I see.
This is the AAA affiliate of the Twins.
What I see is that the AAA affiliate's mascot is Madonna T Pig.
Okay.
So they got so mad. If you read this article, they got so frustrated with what they named it. They named it this.
Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Thanks on behalf of my wife, Sherry, for the wonderful hospitality. She was shown in Prattville, Alabama, where you hear us on I-92. Camellia Baptist Church had a women's event lunchtime on Saturday. Sherry said you all were just wonderful to her. I know that you benefited from her teaching, and she was just so grateful. So I want to thank all of you for taking care of my wife. So I was off to Omaha! Omaha, Nebraska. There's a guy there, Marcus Cochran, who was a fan of the show and got dialed in and excited about the Man Church when it first launched. He was working at one time at a church in Huntsville, and then fully implemented it in a church in Mississippi where he was called. And he said, sometimes God does things you don't expect. Ended up taking he and his family to Omaha, Nebraska to serve at Westside Baptist Church there where he is. And he said, I wanted to bring this discipleship strategy there. Now, this is kind of an interesting twist on how this usually works. Usually, most every time, I'd say 90% of the time, the Man Church becomes known by churches and men's ministry by listening to the show. And so they find out about that from the show. In Omaha and the surrounding areas, they found out about the show from the Man Church.
Hmm.
It went back the other way because they didn't have a reference point, and they started doing the curriculum, and I set it up each small group with a video that's either 10 to 15 minutes somewhere in there based on which curriculum you're using. And so I was kind of the guy on the video. And then they begin to research, where's this guy on the video from? And then that's brought some of them back into the loop. Now, they don't have an affiliate or anything there, but they listen and watch on some of the other options like archives and YouTube and streaming apps and all that. So anyway, so we were headed to Omaha for the second year in a row. I went there last spring, and last spring we tried doing something on Friday night and Saturday that involved me, and they're just with the show, and it's too far to fly private. You go commercial. It's just really, really hard to get to anything on Friday. I made it last year, but by the skin of my teeth. So this year they were like, hey, you and Wingo, I want you to bring Wingo this time, and y'all's part will just be Saturday. They do something a little different. They have part of the weekend is a session in the curriculum. Like Friday night they have a speaker come in, they eat. Then Saturday, they have the breakfast, and then like Wingo speaks. In the break, they actually go into their small groups and do one of the weeks of the curriculum. That way that introduces all the men to it if they want to get in. I mean, this church has got over 200 men in small groups, in different groups doing the curriculum, which is incredible. A lot of they're working it the way you should. And then you come back out of that, have lunch, and then you have the last session, and then you go home. So it's really, really good the way they map that out. So anyway, we're headed off Friday and, you know, roll on down there after work. And I'm at the airport, you know, and meet Wingo there, and no problem at all. You know, we're flying Delta. We get on the plane, no issue.
Wait a minute, no issue?
Leaves on time. I didn't have any issue with any other than one they couldn't avoid, which we'll get into. So anyway, we're rolling, man. Everything's good. All we're talking about is when Johnny Fever, Dan from the church, is going to pick us up at the airport. All we're thinking about is where he's going to take us to eat.
That's it.
And then on to the hotel, and then we'll be ready to go for Saturday morning. That's all we're talking about. So we start looking around, and, you know, we're getting pretty close to Omaha. And I'm like, well, we should probably be on the ground by now. And everybody's like, and then you hear as calm, and that's what I love about these pilots, that are they're such pros. Ladies and gentlemen from the cockpit, we're going to be diverted to Kansas City. Looks like we're going to be moving on to Kansas City. Mm. Apologize for any inconvenience on your travel plans. Apparently, we're attempting to land in Omaha. Can't land. Tornado currently on the ground, possibly destroying the airport. So, we're going to roll on to Kansas City. Stand by. We'll be there. Gracious. Probably. We're going to start our descent into Kansas City, and we'll get
that'll
back.
Divert you.
We'll
then.
Get back to it. Wow. And also, you just hear the plane. Well, here's what I noticed, though. Rick being one of the biggest offenders about getting mad when your schedule has been diverted by an airline that's not getting their act together. Nobody likes that. I probably dislike it as much as any human that's ever lived.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
In this moment, including me, not one person complained.
No.
This is all of us. And Wingo and I are on the front seat right behind the cockpit. Said, sounds good.
Roger that.
Don't worry about serving us again. We're good.
Go with the fly around.
Just get us on the ground.
Yeah. So here's some of the footage.
This is
so Omaha was hit. Lincoln was hit. Parts of Iowa. I don't know if Kansas got involved, but I know Oklahoma did. Matter of fact, that's where we had some deaths. Thank the Lord with the devastation. But it's a little bit different there because it's Tornado Alley. Like, there was never even a, you know, I started when we got in cell service in Kansas City. I'm trying to let everybody know where we are. You know, don't want Johnny Fever to be waiting on us. And I get back. Yeah, we just watched it from the church parking lot. Okay. Y'all still there? Oh yeah, yeah. We're rolling. See y'all tomorrow. I'm like, nobody. So this didn't affect the event? Oh no, it didn't come. We had one tornado, you know, below us, one above us, but we're good. We sat and watched it out of the parking lot.
It's just because it's so flat.
Yeah,
you can just sit there and watch.
I'm like, okay, sounds good. So then, thankfully, we hear. Guys, I just got an update from Omaha. Looks like commercial part, not damage. Looks like the damage just over on the corporate side, some of the private hangars. So, tell you what, anybody want to step off, get a bite to eat here in Kansas City, or maybe stretch your legs a little bit? We're probably not going to be here more than about 45, 50 minutes, and we'll get you on to Omaha. And then we're like,
so soothing.
Yeah, I was like, okay. And
did you just lean and talk to him? Yeah. Sounds good, but you need anything?
Well, and look, I will say this about Wingo. You know, he's a hard nosed son of a gun. Okay, but the man he has had similar issues that I've experienced, and we all have on corporate planes. And the man does not like airplanes and weather at all.
Mm.
He's like,
who does?
Yeah, and as a matter of fact,
give me some of what he's saying, Rick.
He said he was on one time where both hands were like this. Because he worked for a company that, you know, had properties all over the country, and they had a corporate, you know, plane. And he said, one time I've got my hands one to the right, one to the left, and I'm touching the ceiling, and the plane is sideways. like this. And he said the odometer went bad, and the guy couldn't figure out where the horizon was.
Oh, that's
great. And probably the worst thing you can hear.
In a storm. And I said, okay, all right. I'm going to save my Tennessee story. Yeah. I don't think I can beat sideways odometer going bad. And ours was bad, and we all thought we were going to die as well. Right. But I'm going to say that your death was probably more – you were probably more on the edge of death than me. Now, I felt like I was going to die. I get to talk just because at least we almost died too. No, if the odometer goes bad, I think you need to stand down. I said, I think I will. So
he was a little bit more patient on getting where he
was. Well, but yeah. It's interesting, though. The only thing I've noticed, and this is one thing that we all share with Wingo, he does not like to be hungry. And so I said, do you think we chance eating? Absolutely, we're going to eat. And I said, we're going to eat in Kansas City. What if they decide they can go back in 20 minutes? We'll get left. Oh, no, it ain't going to take that long. I said, so no way you're going to wait till we get to Omaha. You realize what time we're going to get to Omaha? He goes, by then, we're going to wait to eat then? I said, you realize we step off this plane, we get too far away, they leave us.
Yeah.
He said, all right, no, we're eating. And I said, okay. So we did almost get left.
Really?
Yeah. We got back. The woman was sitting there, and she goes, where y'all been? And I said, we're eating barbecue. And she said, we're ready to go. Y'all are the last ones. And I was like,
did you point to Wingo?
I looked at Wingo. He goes, but we ate and we're on the plane. What, I don't see
it's close, but
it was, let me tell you that, we'll come out and we'll talk a little more about it. It was, it was intense.
Well, it sounds like
that was, and of course, you know, we'll talk about the other thing. We all know this. When your family and your friends, all they see on the headlines, tornadoes are ripping up Omaha.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it dawns, wait a minute. Isn't that where Burge is? guys, we're going to go into Kansas City.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
This Friday, Unfrosted, his Pop-Tart movie, is it on Netflix? Is that who has it? It's coming out this
what's that Friday? I haven't completely understood what this movie's about.
I thought it might be just a look at the history of, because you know Jerry Seinfeld has a very popular bit he does that the Pop-Tart is perfection.
Right.
This is when the snack people came up with the greatest invention ever.
Right. We all agree.
Yeah, and he does a whole bit on it that is hilarious. But apparently from me seeing bits and pieces of the trailer, it feels like it's a little more zany.
Yeah. I saw a giant Pop-Tart.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I hope it's not. Have you ever seen comedies that are too weird?
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, I thought it would just be funny enough to let's just go back to the history of the Pop-Tart and get actors and portray it. It looks like he might be going a little zanier than I would prefer. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just telling you by the trailer, but I'll give it a look this weekend, especially now that I'm not going anywhere on Saturday. So let's have a look at something people have been saying because of him out promoting this movie, and now he's trying to out promote John Bon Jovi on their documentary.
My goodness!
But anyway,
that's a job.
He's out doing this promotion, but he's also taking this opportunity to talk about the state of entertainment in this woke world. Somebody said one time he was saying that, you know, movies are over.
Mm-hmm.
All you got now is just people trying to do agendas so they get loved and they're not really, you know,
right.
And comedy, of course.
Legit.
Yeah. So here he is.
And for TV, this is a still shot. He was on a podcast or something.
Okay.
So it's audio.
Okay.
But he talks about, you know, sitcoms and where they've gone. And what he used to look forward to before they killed comedy.
Yeah.
It used to be you would go home at the end of the day. Most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. Oh, MASH is on. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore is on. All in the Family's on. You just expected there'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're going to see stand-up comics because we are not policed by anyone. The audience polices us. We know when we're off track.
Mm-hmm.
We know instantly, and we adjust to it instantly. But when you write a script and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, here's our thought about this joke, well, that's the end of your comedy.
Have you had that experience?
No.
Because isn't that what Curb is all about?
Yeah. Larry was grandfathered in. He's old enough that I don't have to observe those rules because I started before you made those rules.
Yeah. Well, this is the problem. We have completely, we're losing our sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what you're finding, and he hit on it, and explains, the comedians that are still willing to be clever, not bend to the woke and say, I'm sorry, there's some things that are just funny. We got to stop taking ourselves so serious. They are selling out arenas.
Mm-hmm.
While sitcoms are kind of fledgling. You don't, yeah, I mean, when's the last time somebody told you, they had a sitcom that they loved and don't miss that was funny?
Right.
I can't remember. When would Goldbergs maybe?
The Goldbergs, Big Bang Theory for me, probably the last 10
years. They've been gone.
Yeah,
I mean, you couldn't put that out now. Yeah. Like you said about being grandfathered in, the only things that we still enjoy started before all this started.
Yeah.
But the biggest example, and I know I keep bringing this up, but when we get good examples, I'm sorry, we go to them because they're good examples.
Well, yeah.
I was so excited when Kevin, what's his name, was going to do the NASCAR.
Kevin James.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I was so excited.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, Kevin James is going to do NASCAR?
And there's so and they're, and they're many gonna, they're things be you a, could have fun
They're going to be an owner and a pit crew and a driver, and Kevin James is in it.
He's the main guy.
I thought this is going to be hilarious. It was not funny in the least.
I was the same way. Gave it a shot. I never laughed.
Because what Jerry Seinfeld just described happened to that show, you could tell. And it was terrible.
Yeah.
It didn't. I never laughed.
I didn't either.
Because when you think
they made it so vanilla.
Yeah. I was about to say, think about when you go to comedy and say, all this is off the table. What's left?
Anybody.
Okay, I'll tell you one that's still pretty cutting edge now, and that was Frasier.
When the new one came back?
Yeah. Because it's not network TV. Either,
right. So. No. Based on what you saw and what you know about network TV, would it ever be on?
Well, there's none like it on now.
Right.
Obviously.
So I guess.
I think there'd be.
They didn't offer him anything, did they?
No.
So it really is going to be the end. I didn't hear the conversation. I heard people saying that on this tour, he also said, hey, movies are over.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hear that conversation. So I don't know where he took that, but I assume it was the same route. He's saying by the time you write a screenplay and pass it around, and that's why people but here's what the biggest miss. And I would say this about radio and TV. The biggest thing that terrestrial TV, cable TV, and terrestrial radio, the biggest thing they're missing is your days of holding a monopoly and telling the audience where are you going to go. We're it. We control everything you get to see and hear. Not anymore.
Mm-mm.
Not anymore. That's why people flock to these podcasts. That's why they flock to YouTube and to all these places, because this is going to end up being the places where artists go to express themselves and do their craft.
There's definitely more outlets now.
Because of the freedom.
But you got to be careful and watch that not too many of them are being owned by the same two or three people.
Well, that's true. You know, they'll eventually turn that into the same thing.
We actually have antitrust laws here. We just don't, enforce a lot of them on the left anymore.
But the problem is, at some point, to your point, the people have just got to refuse. I mean, I'd like to think that the people who might even buy up all these things, like you said, Bub, and that's absolutely true, but don't they want to make a profit? Don't they want people to like their product?
You think?
Won't they eventually say, we can't make a living this way?
I remember, I forget what a stand-up comedian it was, but this was shortly after they allowed people to start doing comedy again. And he was making a joke about how doing your own research became something that was like evil and vilified. And he was like, doing your own research, that used to just be called reading.
Yeah.
And comedians have made so many great points during that crazy lockdown stage. It really is more important than you might think.
Yeah. So anyway, top of the hour. If you leave us, have a great day. Don't forget the Rick and Bubba archives available to you every day for any part of the show you miss.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
So remember, you were not allowed to be negative on the vaccine. If you were, you were banned from all society.
I mean, they put you under the bus.
You were considered to be the Grim Reaper, and you were the reason people were dying.
It was the disease of the unvaccinated.
Yes, and of course, we found out that so many things that we were not allowed to say were pretty accurate. And they're probably some of the things that we said were true really weren't. But that's the problem if you ever allow society to cancel people who are just giving their opinion. When I knew we had trouble, and we were pointing to it, Bubba, pretty early on, is that when the very people in the group that were being banned, included people who were brilliant and had helped with the mRNA technology.
Helped to actually, you know, to bring it to market, to discover it and to grow it.
Yeah, this is not Joe's Instagram account. This guy is actually, he's got a pretty good resume here. Shouldn't we hear from him as well? And I'm fine with hearing from everybody, but... and then, as Adler pointed out, maybe doing our own research. There's a concept. But Bubba, it looks like we have yet another pharmaceutical company that said, well, I know that we told y'all that you know, our vaccine didn't have any side effects. Of course, it would be 100% effective. There was nothing to be concerned about. And they're kind of walking out right now and saying, okay, we admit we got some issues.
AstraZeneca, the drug giant, has admitted in court for the first time that its COVID jab can cause a deadly blood clotting side effect.
Mm-hmm.
The rare reaction is at the heart of a multi-million pound action lawsuit brought by dozens of families who allege they or their loved ones were maimed or killed by the pharmaceutical titan's defective vaccine. Now, this is in a British court.
Mm-hmm.
Lawyers representing the defendants claim that the cases could be worth up to $20 million in compensation.
Mm-hmm. So, this landmark high court battle saying some of the doses, I didn't know this little tidbit, of the vaccine were defective. I guess they're saying, well, if it would have worked like it was supposed to, but some of them didn't, and I don't know what all that means.
So,
but.
So the way that they're portraying this actually goes awry, mm-hmm, is the vaccine is made up of a genetically modified cold virus containing a snippet of COVID's genetic code.
Mm-hmm.
The jab is delivered into the muscle of the arm, but sometimes it can get into the bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
In the bloodstream, it can attract a protein in the blood called platelet factor 4. Mm-hmm. In rare cases, the body's immune system mistakes platelet factor 4 for the virus attacking it.
Mm-hmm.
The body's defense antibodies clump together around the platelets, triggering a blood clot. In other words, this would be a normal reaction in your body to an invader. And part of this, if it gets into the bloodstream, it sounds like too quick, or in some instances, that the body looks at this platelet factor 4 and attacks it.
Well, the problem is, at one time, you were not allowed to even suggest that, and now the company itself saying, yeah, there's some validity to this. Rare, but it, yeah. But that's not what y'all said. Y'all didn't say rare. You didn't, mm-hmm, say sometimes. You said we were not allowed to say that it has any problems whatsoever. You could not talk side effects. We're not allowed. And so now more truth coming out.
The law company involved in this particular one said this: they have 51 cases currently lodged in the High Court in Britain, estimated to be worth around $100 million in total payout.
Wow. RFK Jr. on Bill Maher talking about the same thing, but talking about in America. I know the voice is difficult. The clip... They're selling me a minute 23. I don't know that we can go that long.
I'm speeding it up by 1.25. So
that
it'll
seems
be
to
a,
work.
It'll be about a minute.
And I apologize. Selfishly, I always do this to see if y'all can get through it.
Thanks, man.
I apologize.
It's okay.
Well, here he is talking about how it, over in America, same thing is happening about COVID vaccines and the lie that they were 100% safe. And remember, at one time, 100% effective.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
All right, so, but your vice presidential pick wants to recall the Moderna vaccine. That's the one I got.
She's not going to...
Well, do you agree with that? Recall it.
I think I think those vaccines we need to have, again, true double-blind placebo-controlled trials on that. There's 25% of Americans who believe that they know somebody who was killed by a COVID vaccine.
Killed.
25% of Americans, 52% of Americans believe that the vaccines are causing injuries, including death, 52%. Oh, well, if you look at the clinical trial studies, the actual studies that were done that were released of the Pfizer vaccine, Moderna has not released it. If you look at the Pfizer vaccine, there were 22,000 people in the placebo group, 22,000 people who got the actual vaccine. And the people who got the vaccine had a 23% higher death rate from all causes at the end of that study.
But that could not be the disease itself?
No, well...
Because we know that...
If it is, then the vaccine doesn't work, does
well,
it?
Well,
That's good.
If it is... If I could have understood him, I think he got it.
You know, it's almost like a dare. It's almost like a challenge.
It is.
I saw in one of the latest polls, they were estimating he could get as much as like 16% of the vote.
Yeah, that's the story we have today on that. That's crazy.
By the way, we'll cover that. The latest polling data is out. Trump is expanding his lead over Biden. I just don't know how – I just can't hardly listen to that very long. It's just so hard.
Well, here's a trip down memory lane.
And was that sped up, Adler?
Yeah, it was.
He tried.
Oh, my God. Here's a trip down memory lane. Remember, Bubba, we were told, trust the science.
You got to Jake break it.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. That's it, by the way. Here's a flashback. Remember this?
President Trump wrote on Twitter, don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. Don't let it dominate your life?
In terms of responding to a comment like that, it's gross.
It's okay to be afraid of COVID, and it's okay that it's dominating your life.
Everyone should be afraid of COVID.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
I can't come in, Mom. It's because of this flu thing.
We won't be free of this pandemic until we listen to the acknowledged truth. Listen to the scientists.
Science is truth.
You know, science is truth.
What is the impact to public health when people are openly questioning the science?
Now is the time to do what you're told.
By not hearing the truth, by not listening to the scientists, they are prolonging how bad the economy will be.
When I see somebody out in the world who's not wearing a mask, I instantly think, you are a threat, or you are selfish, or you are a COVID denier, and you definitely haven't been vaccinated.
You don't wear a mask.
Are you vaccinated?
I am triple vaccinated.
So why are you wearing a mask?
Seek out the scientists and listen to their advice.
Listen to scientists.
Listen to the scientists.
Trust the experts.
We're going to trust science. We're going to trust the experts.
Parents who say, well, I need to do my own research. Makes you think of that cartoon I saw of the tombstone that said, I did my own research.
Masking of kids.
Republicans have given their voters license to believe whatever they want to believe.
Heard somebody saying, listen to the scientists. Do that.
Let's listen to the scientists.
Just, man, so much insanity. Yeah. Well, fighting over toilet paper.
Well, let's just learn from it. Just that way, you know. There's a saying we have, you know, y'all probably have it in Tennessee. Fool me once.
Got it in Texas.
Yeah, shame on you. Fool me twice. You know, we're not going to get fooled again.
No fooling here.
Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Taste somebody over a mask.
If some jerk exposed my mother to COVID because they didn't want to wear a mask, I would want to kill them.
Morning, Biggins. How's it going?
Good. Hope you're okay.
I was at the Barber Motorsports yesterday. Gene Hallman announced it was the biggest crowd in decades. And I also wanted to see if you guys got a chance to see the mannequin that fell from the walking bridge onto the racetrack.
No, did not.
You know,
did that happen?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Georgiana, the mannequin that was hanging from the walking bridge over the track, she fell yesterday.
Into traffic?
Off the side of the traffic and one of the cars.
Oh, goodness.
I'm not familiar with this mannequin.
No, Are you speeding?
No, you know how they have things around there at Barber's?
No.
All the figures and stuff.
Dinosaurs.
Now, I didn't know about that right there. Okay. What in the world?
I guess that's...
All right. I did see some of the race on NBC yesterday with 16 laps left or something. It looked like a good crowd. Okay. Good weather.
All right.
You got to be kidding me.
Oh, my goodness.
And who was that was just driving by as it happened? That must have been quite a shock.
So I start going through Babylon Bee to figure out what happened. Really? I realize there's somebody that shot a puppy. I see the various jokes about that.
Potential VP for Trump.
Okay. And then I love this one. Bubba and I laughed about this one in the break. Israel withdraws from Gaza after learning of protests
by 19-year-old fine arts major Roxy Barnett.
Roxy Barnett turned it around.
That is funny.
Turned it around. Bob, a couple of videos that we can sit and discuss. These are kind of out of the world of the odd. Greg, Ted Nugent, you saw when he said, sure, I'll do White Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, over the weekend, we had a White Buffalo born on Friday. Right? Was that the 25th, Friday? Yeah, is that right? Thursday? I don't remember.
Ooh, look at Whitey.
There was a White Buffalo born
Thursday.
I don't think they named it Whitey.
They should have.
Whitey Herzog?
That or Honky.
Greg.
Yeah.
It's a White Buffalo. Bubba, you asked the question I was thinking. It says, to the American Indian.
Yeah, is this a big deal?
A White Buffalo calf is the most sacred living thing on the earth.
What the?
Is that a recessive gene? Is that a bad one to have? I know a lot of other species, like in deer, you know, we have some that have some large areas of white on them from time to time, but that's considered a bad trait, even though it's odd to have and people harvest those. It's always interesting, but they seem to think you don't want those multiplying.
Certainly not.
According to the Indians, no. Yeah.
Certainly not a biologist. Is this an albino? Or are we just white?
Spirit animal, right?
I know it's a spirit animal.
I think it's a ghost. Yeah.
Keep standing behind mama. It's gonna get some brown.
Ted Nugent song.
Trying to hit that hind teat.
Greg, how did you like Ted Nugent's song White Buffalo?
I love it.
Huh? Do you really?
Yeah, that's actually from him. What was his first band? Asbury Dukes or something.
Right then. Sure, I'll play White Buffalo.
It's long.
Where is that at? Does it say?
It does. Do you know, Adler, where this is from?
Let me try to find it out.
Yeah, so White Buffalo born.
I think it's Mountain Brook.
Most sacred living thing on earth.
Greg, it's right there by the race course.
Unfortunately, Greg, Trump's VP candidate actually has now shot it. What's going on with that? I don't know what's going on. I don't get the joke.
I think she's the governor of one of the Dakotas.
Yeah, Christy Nome.
Okay. And she had Rick, it's one of these here, Rick. I'm a chick, but I have weapons. You know, we've all seen that.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, in her book, she
Sarah Palin kind of thing.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, look at me. I'm carrying a gun.
Right.
But anyway, in her book she had written, there's a story she told, I guess, about having to make tough decisions, and she had a dog that didn't act right. And I ain't got all the details, but she ended up shooting it, I think.
Well, Babylon Bee.
Ran out of breath.
They're running with that, too. So that I saw. You know, honestly, I look at Babylon Bee to go, what am I supposed to know?
So, I think she killed a goat, too.
Rick, yeah. Some go to TikTok. You go to Babylon
Bee. Her name is Christy Nome, as they say it.
I think she killed a goat, too, and that she says.
Greg Babylon.
I'm not making that up.
Greg Babylon B. I'm sorry I have to do this, says Christy Nome, pumping shotgun after puppy playfully barks at mailman. So when I think
she killed somebody, had a, one of these aggressive breeds that may have attacked
her,
somebody
dog.
On her family.
This was her dog.
Was it?
Yeah, and it attacked a bunch of chickens.
Adler, this one's for you. After learning she killed her puppy, Dr. Fauci now endorses Christy Nome.
The White Buffalo was born in Burnett, Texas.
Okay. Sure, I'll play White Buffalo.
Sure, I'll play.
All right, the next
one. So is that
one
related to the red heifer at all?
Do you know? They're cousins.
Well, unblemished.
In the happy hunting land, that is the red heifer.
Yeah.
It is. Mm.
I know if you're born albino, though, just in the wild, you're much more likely to be singled out by predators.
Oh, yeah, you can't hide.
Taken. So, yeah. You know, that's naturally speaking.
It's kind of hard to hide if you're in Texas. Now, if you're up north, maybe in the snow, you got to know.
Yeah, want that. You lay up in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There we go. All right, so
snow on
Rick. This other video we have is crazy. We've got a YouTube guy, and he's in one of these little flying things. It looks like a lawnmower with a parachute on it.
No.
And he actually crashes while this video.
Didn't y'all say in here he breaks his neck?
Yeah, he is
he alive?
He's okay, but he's hurt.
We're not seeing somebody die. Right
I can't watch.
Now.
No, if he dies.
He does not die. He just banged up.
Don't be disappointed. He did.
I saw
Rick. I just saw your face when he said he didn't die.
I hope it's a good crash.
No, when y'all said that he did not die, I saw two things happen, and they happened at the same time. Speedy moved away. Greg moved closer.
That's not true.
All right, so here we go.
All right, I am going to have to mute it right after his. He forgot one knot, guys.
Bubba.
That's why I could never have this as a hobby.
Never.
Like if I forget a camera battery, then okay, maybe I miss a shot of something. In this situation, you forget something, you die.
I don't understand how that knot would have saved him, but you can tell us, educate us on it, because I don't know.
I was just reading that he forgot one knot that ties like a stabilizing part of the thing, and he's trying to, you're going to hear him talking about how fast he's going, and he has his phone up, and he's tracking his speed, and he's got all kinds of cameras on this paramotor. I'm going to have to mute it. Because he cusses before he crash lands.
All right, for those in radio, what is, does he hit the ground or is he hit something?
Yeah, he hits the ground.
So he's going down. Okay.
Yes, yes.
It's like the parachute catches a breeze and gets tangled.
Oh. He didn't run his checklist.
And no, he didn't. And I'm going to keep it small.
Go flight.
I'm going to keep it a small screen on YouTube just because it's pretty brutal. All right.
Well, so we're going to watch it.
All right. Do I have volume? Okay, here we go.
So he's fine right now. Yeah. See, look at him.
He's so excited. He's so jazzed.
I realize he left that knot out at this point.
I don't think I'm on, Rick. It's not working.
I thought he was cussing.
I'll mute it. I'll mute it. Right. Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't want to watch. 28 miles per hour. Come on, baby.
There it is, right there.
Oh, wow. And now he's going down. He's going down.
Oh, oh.
Oh. Greg, another eye, Greg. You should not be mad.
48 miles per hour. Come on, baby.
Boom, and then it breaks loose. He's falling.
I bet he wished it was about 15 mile an hour at that point.
By the way, that's him screaming. That wasn't us.
I thought that was Adler.
Did y'all hear him screaming?
Y'all, he screams.
Y'all must
have missed horrifically,
the timing.
Horrifically screaming. Horrifically screaming.
Hey, right. y'all must have missed the timing.
Oh, man.
I can't watch.
48 miles per hour. Come on, baby.
What, I can't figure out what went wrong there.
Is it a gust? Good Lord.
Good gracious, that's awful. What are we doing? What are we doing in here?
I wouldn't. You got to be careful in flying lawnmowers.
Oh, my God. Don't you know his friends?
What are you doing?
Good
God. No.
He's so injured.
He's fine. Oh, my goodness.
I'm not being mean, but about that horse.
Did he have somebody chasing him? How does anybody know he wrecked? He's in the middle of nowhere.
Anybody have any idea how fast he's going?
I seriously thought that was you screaming at first.
Boy, he came down
crying. He was so excited.
Hey, does it continue? Like, does he call or somebody help
He goes, Siri, call 911.
Can you really?
And then it doesn't recognize his voice.
That's not true.
So he has to go, Siri, call 911.
He had to lower it in the midst of his agony.
Oh. Are you serious?
I'm only laughing at this because he's okay and he lived and all that. He's got a long way to go in recovery.
He's got that crown on.
But he's alive, you know, and we can learn from his mistakes.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Now you're cleaning it up.
What is your problem?
Oh, my goodness.
We'll be right back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
All right, so all I could think about, because I know when we watch this this video, is hopefully it will do some people some good. I'm glad that he's alive. Of course, his YouTube numbers probably are through the roof right now.
That's true, too.
I'm sure. I noticed he went ahead and made sure it was still posted. But you know, I thought to myself, and that's what I thought going to the bathroom in the break. You know, you have a lot of time to think making that journey.
You do.
And I thought to myself, and the guy's alive, praise God. So if only John Denver had seen his video, we'd still have him.
Is that what got John Denver?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was experimental aircraft.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Something in that same little
category. What went wrong with that flight? I mean, he's cruising along fine, and all of a sudden it looks like the back of the parachute just jerks. I mean, did he get wind? Or
it said he forgot a single knot. I slowed it down.
Something must have broke loose on the where it's tied.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you think that's what it is?
All those above him.
Mm-hmm. So I slowed it down here, and this is when he's like, yeah, 48 miles an hour, baby.
What comes loose first?
Let's see here. I mean, I might be too slow. Come on, baby. Y'all, it was so fast after that. Here we go.
Oh, it's on the left. It just slid out.
Yep, his right side.
It just slid out of the
right hole. Above his right shoulder.
Say the knot didn't hold.
Wow.
All right, we're good. Adler, we don't have to watch this book.
Baba, can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Hey, during the break, Rick, we listened to the 911 call.
That's bad.
Buddy, he's in the handle.
The fact that he was so in such pain that the Siri didn't recognize his voice.
Yeah, and then he had to cut the motor off and everything else. He's like, oh, Siri. You know.
How did he do it?
Well, I just, that's
right.
What's wrong with you?
So, no, I was just, I mean, I was, I could, I couldn't, no, I, look, I couldn't watch it. I just, because he was laying there in so much pain.
Strap a fan to your butt and fly around, you might put yourself in danger.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
All right, here's the 911 call.
There's some lessons to be learned.
So you won't play it?
This is all from Anthony Vella is who this person is. He's a paramotorist. Well, it's good for, it's a good PSA, really.
He's trying to help.
Hey, Siri, call 911.
That's smart of him to think of that.
Yeah, let's cut the motor off.
Hey, Siri, call 911.
It still doesn't have it. It's still.
Call 911.
See how he has to calm his voice down. All right, so now it's.
Guys.
Did it get it then? Did it get it then?
I think it got it.
Well, no, he goes, emergency.
Right.
And then it cuts the motor off immediately.
And then it does it.
Yeah. That's
it rings so many times.
It does.
By the way.
And by the way, I really would like the 911 operator to pick up. Yeah. Well, I don't know the circumstances,
well,
but it rings.
It's way out there. But let me tell you this. What about other people that were going to do this same deal, fly this same kind of aircraft? Do you think they put it back in the garage? Was this the day? Because this guy's posted it, right? He's out there. Right. He wants everybody to see it.
And I got
to
say this, too. Yeah. Is he just holding his phone? Kudos to him. Did he hang on to that phone through the crash?
Yeah.
To be able to call Siri?
Good point, Speedy. Yeah.
Because, heck, I'd have lost the phone. I'd be like, Siri!
Well, the reason why I don't do
Siri, can you hear me?
The reason why I don't, like you were talking about, if you're a person like me, like.
He held on to that phone.
Two things happened just in this past weekend. I got on an airplane and left my phone charging in the chair I was sitting in the airport. And they had to let me off the plane to go get it and then get back on.
Didn't. That's so rude.
What? Yeah, yeah.
I can't believe you did
that.
Yeah. And I get to the airport after leaving and realize that I left my Bible on my desk back at work. And I'm going to get one of these.
Thankfully, you got to remember every little step.
Well, here's the thing. Thankfully, I had already turned in what I was going to preach on, so I just looked up at the screen.
Yeah.
But
Adler, we think the ropes on part
and
of
I'm going to do this.
Came loose.
It's like it just slid out.
Just slid out of the
So is there something
like lost his canopy.
Well, all pilots have a checklist. You
that's right.
That checklist. Mm-hmm. That's why they make one, so you don't forget something.
Well, you know when everybody gets in trouble is when they think they're an expert now.
Gosh.
Oh, yeah, you'll skip a step in a second. Oh, yeah, that looks good. Let's move on.
Times,
you
know?
It's anything that involves, because of I know my quirks, anything that involves be sure you don't forget anything.
That's
tough.
I don't need to be anywhere near that.
Okay, I got to go back to something here. You forgot your phone, and did you realize it? I'm assuming you go, hey, I got to go get it.
Yeah. Okay. What happened was, well, first of all, let's don't forget the beginning. Okay, now picture me now flying, because I wouldn't fly one of these things.
No.
For the reasons I just mentioned. So I'm in here in my office, and here's what's the saddest part when I realize how bad I am about this kind of stuff. Is I even stood in my office like a doofus and said, all right, be sure you're not leaving anything. Okay, you're about to get on a plane to Nebraska. Okay, look around. And
just the Bible. And you're going to preach.
And all I left was all my notes and the Bible. You know, the thing I'm going to use for the message.
That's all.
Yeah, and so I realized that when I get to the airport. So I realize I'm doomed. And then I go, okay, well, I'm kind of glad the guy wanted me to send my slides in, so at least we have those.
And then
I thought, well, it's a church. I bet they have Bibles.
So should. Most
churches have Bibles, you know, except Joel Osteen's. But and so so I was I contacted, and he said, I have, you know, the exact, you know, I like ESV to teach out of. That's the one I like to teach out of the best. He said, sure, I have one of those, and we already have your slides, so you're fine. And so that was good. So then we go through that. That all went fine. And so we get on the plane to go home. And I realize I'm running out of battery on my phone. So since we're all dependent on getting the updates from the airlines and all that on our phones now, I said, well, I'm going to plug in right here. And at airports now, you can plug in everywhere, which is great. So I'm charging. So I have it sitting right beside me. And so when they call me to load, I just grab my bag and walk right on the plane without it. So I get about halfway down the tunnel, Okay. And I do this in my
I thought you were set down.
And I turn around and I say, I don't know what the current situation is about getting something. I can literally see it. I said, I could have that woman sitting there grab it and bring it to me if I can't leave. And she says, what's your name? And I said, I'm Richard Burgess. She goes, yeah, sure. Just run over and get it and come right back. So I went over and got it and came back.
Whoa.
Yeah. Thank goodness you did the pat down before you sat down.
Yeah. So it was
So you call you.
So I don't think me an experimental aircraft.
No, Rick.
Me parachuting. You know what I mean? I don't think anything that goes, hey, Burge, if you forget something, you're dead.
Ooh, Rick forgot his parachute.
I don't need to be anywhere near that.
Man, that's scary.
That is not for folk like me.
No. You know, if you're in one of those, and I know they have a name. I'm sorry, I don't know the name.
Yeah, they fly around my house.
Paramotor.
You don't have to have a license.
Paramotor.
Right?
So. Paraglider, paramotor.
You think they would have some all-out emergency plan like that? Your parachute, something happens to it or whatever. I mean, like have a, like we land the rovers on Mars, the thing with the airbags come out all around you and you just bounce when you hit the ground or something. I don't know what you'd use. Maybe a raft that would
on that little thing.
Not quite just anything that to blow up to slow you up.
A lot of people have backup chutes with them when they're going up thousands of feet in the air. He was going 50 miles per hour, and he was 85 feet up.
Yeah, you wouldn't have much.
He was only 48.
Time.
He never got to 50.
48, baby.
Did you have time?
Yeah, 48, baby.
He never got to 50. But, I mean, people like him, they're so driven. Are they like, I can't wait to my next fix, and I can do it again.
What's the speed? Part of the cause the shoot came loose?
Possibly.
We'll be back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
To the phones we go. Let's go to Kurt in Birmingham. Kurt, listen to us on ZZK. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. Good, man. I might have a little insight on this paramotor thing.
Good.
I've trained on them before.
Oh, wow.
And what it's looking like, he's on inferior equipment. The wing comes separate from the engine. And the wings are all pre-tied. You don't tie any knots. You clip into a carabiner, and that's what takes you off. So it looks like he just had faulty equipment.
Oh, really?
But I had a little accident of my own about 2 years ago coming up on my birthday this Thursday. First thing my trainer ever told me, never start that engine unless it's on your back. And the pull starts on over your shoulder, so you pull it once it's on your back. Well, he told me not to do it, but I didn't ask why. So I got home from some training, drag it out to the driveway, and I got some new aviation fuel, wanted to crank it up. It's just sitting there facing me. I crank it up, and it cranked right up, but it started leaning towards me, and I went to catch the hoop, and next thing you know, I lost two fingers.
Mm. Kurt, why didn't you listen, Kurt?
Well, like I said, he didn't tell me why. He just said, don't do it, and I thought I knew enough about it. So just dumb me.
I mean, you can't even have two fingers.
Now they call you nub. That's it.
Wow.
Done.
So he thinks faulty equipment because the part that came apart is already ready to go when you get it. Did I hear that right?
Well, I think that may have been the case with his equipment. This guy, Anthony Veller, said from the hospital, I forgot to check a small pension knot. Is what the guy that crashed actually said about his own deal.
Well, thankfully he can speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, he looks rough. Though.
And he did post it so we all could see it.
Yep. Thank you.
He did.
So we can learn.
Fair game.
Yep. We continue. Let's go to Biden out of Alabama. Biden, go ahead. I mean, sorry, Biden. Richard out of Alabama. Talking about Biden. Richard, go ahead.
Wow. Don't you ever disgrace me like that
sorry,
again.
Sorry, buddy. Sorry.
I wanted to see if you guys saw the interview Joe Biden did on the Howard Stern show, I think probably a week or so ago.
We may do that in the next segment. I'm looking here. I just noticed it said that it was embarrassing how Stern just gushed over the president as if he was not in the shape he's in. Is that kind of where you're going with that, Richard?
Yeah, there's some pretty funny clips that came out of Joe Biden talking. I'm sure Adler can find them.
And he also claimed that he was going to debate Trump.
Yeah.
You know what
and Trump immediately said,
too,
I'm in.
Stern used to always be against the man.
Oh, yeah. Know? Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, he wouldn't have to be a Trump supporter, but I find it a little strange that he's so behind Biden, don't you?
Well, he's now, I hate to say it, from Homie the Clown, he's now become the man.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of pressure out there, and there's definitely a PR push right now. You know, we've got the VP, I think, coming to Atlanta today to – talk about all the economic success that the Biden administration has had.
Are you short speech? Yeah,
they said it's about a 10-second
That's great. All right, we may look at the Stern Biden interview a little bit when we come back.
Really low like this.
Let's go to Kyle out of Texas. Kyle, go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm a big fan of the show out of Texas. One of my buddies, Jake Rice, put me on the show. He's from Pell City, Alabama.
Thanks, man. I think
maybe one of y'all coached in a little league, or he went to school with one of your boys. But I asked you about the Dover race. Are y'all a big fan of racing wise? I'm an RCR fan, and I think Austin Dillon's a disgrace to Dale Earnhardt, number three.
Oh. Greg, do you agree with that?
Who did he say? Richard Childress's grandson.
Yeah, I don't know his name.
Yeah,
Austin Dillon. Okay.
Now, why does he feel?
I don't know. Why do you think that, Kyle? Do you hear Bubba? Why?
Dude, he's bad at racing. He's always finishing last.
Oh, well, he's good won night. Some races. I think he won the Daytona 500 one year, but you're right. I mean, it's not. I mean, he's not like every week you go, boy, I wonder, you know, where Dillon's going to be. It's not like that. But
do you think Dillon is a disgrace to the number three?
I don't know about disgrace.
Well, great guys, what Kyle said. That's why I'm asking.
Why didn't we retire that number in coaching?
I agree.
Yeah,
because it's almost not even fair to whoever's in the car.
Because Childress had the three before Earnhardt ever came, mm-hmm. So it's his number,
right?
But he pulled. But still, I'm like you.
Yeah.
Why bring it back?
Yeah.
A little pressure on your grandson, too, putting on side of his car.
Well, that's not wise. Yeah. That's also not wise. It's kind of like the first time somebody wore 75 at Oxford High School.
Very similar.
You don't do that.
It's not fair to that guy.
Then I can say, hey, no pressure at all climbing in that three.
Yeah, come on.
Craig in Gardendale.
There's a lot of numbers out there. You could have got one.
ZZK, Craig, go ahead. Yeah, I don't see the upside of that. Craig, go ahead.
Yeah, before y'all did that interview, basically, you know, Howard Stern was a shock jock. Now he's just shock jockless.
That's funny. Eyeball Smiley, Speedy.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard from him in a long time.
Oh, man.
What's up, bud?
Eyeball Smiley out of Muscle Shoals, WLAY. Go ahead.
What is up?
Bring it on.
When do I fill in the paperwork for my retirement check? I've been on this thing since 95, bro.
I'm telling you.
It's been a minute.
Let me hit two quick things. Number one, yes, you did play at the varsity in Tuscaloosa. That's where the whole Eyeball Smiley was born.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we don't even remember playing there. Okay. I must have been
Speedy,
before.
Yeah, Speedy called me and a friend of mine, Eyeball Smiley's, because I don't know if you remember Lori Ray. She was there.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
The local radio.
Wait a minute. It's starting to come back now. No, I remember. Yep. Yeah, because we were, you know, the Hammer had that affiliate.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he wanted us to go there, too, to help them promote the new that we were on there, too. Yeah. You're right. I'd forgotten about that.
That's right. Caught you.
That's exactly right. Last thing, and you're going to have to use a dump button on the first part of it, but please tell me somebody there has listened to the Afro Man remake of Because I Got High. It's called Hunter Got High.
No, I have not. I have not heard that.
Oh, listen, you watch the video, you will be in the floor. It's called Hunter Got High, and they just redid the whole thing, and it's like Hunter Biden and Joe Biden lookalikes. I'm telling you.
We're playing it now. Okay. In the background. All
right. Can we play it, Adler?
I don't think we can play it, but okay. One of the great lines
is... You're
talking
about Afro Man?
Yes. Hunter was going to get his laptop fixed, but then Hunter got high.
Little Speedy dude sitting there with a Mississippi State hat on.
I am. I'm ready to go.
He got State hat on.
That's their Hunter Biden. Okay. There he is. There's Hunter. And Afro Man.
Okay. He and Afro Man twisting one.
Yeah.
Y'all remember the last time we covered Afro Man is when he punched that woman up on stage.
Oh, punched her good.
I mean, he didn't just punch her. He nailed
wow.
her.
No, I remember that. I do. Brad, Mississippi. Brad, go ahead.
Hey, Bubba. I just wanted your opinion on the new information coming out that the moon landings was fake.
Oh, no.
Here we go. New information, Bubba.
What do you mean new information?
It's in y'all's press.
I've known it for years. It's not new.
Yeah. Brad, what are you talking about, new information?
Well, there's a scientist from NASA, Kelly Smith, who said that they can't get through the Van Allen radiation belts, that there was no way for the astronauts could have gotten through the radiation belts without it either seriously harming the equipment on board or killing them.
Bubba's face. Y'all look at Bubba's face. Look at it.
And this just now came out.
This call should be banned.
The Van Allen radiation belt looks like a donut. You can fly above it and below it. Just FYI.
Right.
And they did.
They did.
Bubba, you are intelligent.
No, I really don't think that's the case.
I just think
I think it may be the other way on the other end. Yes. You know what I mean?
So. Whoever said that is the opposite end of the spectrum.
I don't think when you go and you dig through all the pictures and all the whatever, you talk about the Van Allen radiation belts. I don't think that's really the to me, that's not the striking thing. What's so weird and striking to me is that they got it done ahead of schedule. When has the government done anything ahead of schedule ever? It's the most advanced technological feat they've ever done ever. We have so much better technology now. They went six times, and then they stopped going, and they've never been back, and they can't get back. That's, to me, the most striking part.
Well, we are going back, and we will land again within a couple of years.
Yeah, thanks to the private sector. Bubba,
well,
I'm sorry,
Bubba. This is a NASA project, the Artemis. So, yeah, the public lost interest in it. It was such a hot space race. After we did it a few times, they kind of lost interest in it.
Yeah.
Sorry, bud.
Yeah. They were like, all right, what's
budget request?
What's the next trick?
Yeah.
We'll come back. We'll wrap up any stories we missed. We'll look at the Stern thing, too, with Biden. Check on that, too, when we come back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Another thing to make a note of, those of you that may have gotten tickets and were coming to Bethlehem, Baptist in Laurel, Mississippi. I know they had billboards going and everything, and it's been on the books for about a year. They have decided to reschedule that. So I will not be in Laurel, Mississippi, unfortunately, coming up this Saturday. And it's a blessing, but it's also just factual. I'm thankful to be in this situation, but rescheduling, unfortunately for me, I don't know how we'll do that anytime soon. So, that's their call, and I apologize for any inconvenience I may have caused you if you were coming to the event. But get with the church if you have any other questions. Bubba, we do have the Biden stuff. The Biden stuff ready to go.
Where did he go? He's hiding in the basement. Does anybody know? Basement Joe.
Basement Joe, you heard the caller. Did you hear Stern talking to Biden? I want you to think about the things that Stern has done. Greg has given the most clarity on this. Howard Stern knows that once the left started canceling you for things you've done in the past, that he cannot anger them. No. If Stern gets the left upset with him, they will simply go into his past and cancel him immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And there's plenty to choose from. So he really has become former edgy guy who's terrified of the left canceling, and he tries to get in line and make them like him.
Yeah.
And here he is pandering to the current president on the Howard Stern show, courtesy of them, I guess.
You know, the reason I'm so excited to talk to you was because I wanted to understand the tragedy in your life and how you dealt with it. And you're the kind of leader I love, because we're lucky to have you in the Oval Office and serving as the father of the country. Because if you're a good father to your family, which you are, I know you'd be a good father to the country.
Well,
I want to thank you for providing a calming influence,
face,
an organized administration post-COVID, getting that vaccine out. I remember what the world was like at that point, getting NATO, getting us to feel comfortable, standing up to Putin.
The what?
Incredible large growth in the jobs.
What?
Unemployment rate down. I'll give you your greatest hits. The lowest uninsured rate in history. 4 out of 5 Americans are covered for less than $10 a month. Knocking off a few ISIS leaders. Cutting the emissions in half. I mean, you've always been an environmentalist.
They gave him this list.
That's very odd looking. It just looked odd, didn't it?
Joe's
as lively as ever.
That's Joe Biden. You can tell he doesn't even know what he's talking about.
That was a supercut of Howard Stern gushing over him. That was a supercut. That was edited, just so everybody knows.
Yeah, they put all the gushing in one thing.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
that's quite a bit of gushing.
Yeah.
Bubba, did you hear that?
I want to check some of his facts.
I
saw it and I thought, well, surely it can't be that bad.
A great father to our country, because you're a great father in your own life and you're a calming force for our country. And thank you for escorting us through the pandemic and getting that vaccine out.
I don't know. It's like there was an imposter.
Who was this person dressed as Howard Stern?
That does not look like the shock jock.
You know what? Honestly,
you think in his day, when if we'd had a president staggering around the way Biden is, he wouldn't have just worn.
Oh my goodness!
Thank you, Greg.
Well, let's go back to this. I don't really. I mean, I guess I would go, okay, man, you got some reasons to just stay out of this because of them willing to cancel you from your for your past. But there, I would at least want to say, I just don't want to look that goofy. I can't read this list. I can't do that. I just won't say anything negative, but I can't do this. Mm-hmm. Right?
It just did not look like what we're used to seeing.
Well, it just, I don't, almost to the point, whoever read what he read, I would be, I'd be too embarrassed to read it. Even as a leftist, I couldn't read it.
He lost it ever since COVID, I know.
Oh, the way he acted, Howard Stern acted about COVID was embarrassing.
He stayed at home for, I think, almost 2 years, if not more.
And was acting like it was the end of time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Greg's on to it. As far as how he's playing everything out.
Right. Well, just stay out of it, though. You don't have to do that.
I know. But they must, I mean, they really must have something on him.
He's got like 2-3 decades of being vulgar and sexist and, you know, blackface. He's got a lot of stuff in his past for sure. He's trying to erase.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know how he survived the blackface thing. Have you ever seen it? I mean, he was full-fledged.
Yeah, it's pretty
rough. And I'm not saying that I think he should have been. I'm just saying they cancel everybody else.
Right.
Well, it's
I don't think he should be canceled for anything.
Did you ever think, Bub, especially now that he's got to be independently wealthy, that Howard Stern would be so afraid of people and afraid of backlash?
I don't know. We just never seen him in that environment act like that. Usually he's against the man, no matter what it is, you know.
Yes. But it's been a while. It's like, I don't know. Greg and I think we've talked about it. When he made the move to Sirius, it wasn't like he was dancing on the edge of being vulgar and stuff like he was when he was on FM. It just opened up the gates and it just made it so vulgar and not funny. And now he's totally just changed gears in which he's just a part of the left machine.
When he was back in the old days, I know it was probably hard to do business with the FCC after him like they were, but when he was testing the boundaries.
You know what?
He had something then.
Well, you may have hit on something right there, Greg, I didn't think about. What do you think, is he helping Biden out so he can get appointed to the FCC and finally destroy from within the group he's hated the most? What do you think?
That would be a pretty good idea.
Well,
Biden could do it.
We touched on this in the beginning. When there was no satellite radio that says, say whatever you want, there was an intrigue to Stern, I don't know what he's going to say next. Look at him. He's getting himself in trouble, and he doesn't care. There's no telling what he might say. Then he's given a platform where he can say whatever he wants, to Adler's point. And to me, once you've said things that now you've lost your edge. There's nothing.
When he used to come on Letterman.
There's nothing edgy about you being able to be as vulgar as you want to, and nobody's mad at you.
Yeah.
Now it just becomes some guy talking vulgar. Yeah. You know, there's no real intrigue to it.
Absolutely.
Listen, Ed, I can't believe he said that.
Here's a real quick clip of Stern asking Biden if he's going to debate Trump.
I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. Yeah. I'm happy to debate him.
This is how I would handle it.
He would say, this is how I'd handle it, and tell me, and he would just quote Trump on the vote, find 11,000 votes quote, to which I would say, Stern, maybe you could just tell Trump to refer to Biden as the big guy throughout the whole debate.
Oh, okay. See, now you're mad. Yeah. Take that, Stern. Alt Adler's after you. Top of the hour. Thanks for being with us. And if you're wrapping up, have a good day.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Hey, it's Rick and Bubba gathering here tomorrow for a brand new Rick and Bubba show.
Rick, it'll be a big and busy show as always. And hey, we have a saying here, hey, you never know.
How about them phone calls at 866-WE-BE-BIG as we break down the stories of the day tomorrow on a brand new Rick and Bubba show.
Thanks for listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
To catch the entire show and for all things Rick and Bubba, go to rickandbubba.com, spell out AIM.
Lord willing, we will catch you on the next edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.